Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Bow, 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 here's Steve-O. Bow, bow,
bow. Yeah!
Not Welcome. That there's anything wrong with that.
Shock Therapy
not
Live.
All.
Steve-O and Pastor Nate in studio. Good
evening.
Yes, sir. Okay, you guys, you have to know that this show is important to us because the Angels are playing right now against the Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball.
Yes.
And we're missing it.
Yes.
Both of us sporting our Halos cap. Yeah. And so let's make this the quickest hour ever
hey,
so we can get home.
We got, can we talk about the cool thing that happened that we heard about? Can we talk about that or no?
The cool thing that happened that
you told
about.
Me on Good Friday. Can we talk about that or not?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. First of all, if you're just joining us, Shock Therapy Live, it's our one-hour call-in show dedicated to you, centered around your questions, your conversations. If you'd like to jump in, 505-338-3700, the phone number.
So all you megalomaniacs, call in.
Yeah. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to get a question in that way. Or, as always, studio@MyStaticRadio.com if you'd like to keep it anonymous.
You remember that Incubus song, Megalomaniac?
Was that from, which one?
I don't know. It was like a newer, I don't know. It was
newer?
One. It was like, hey, mega, oh, yo, na, 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 Jesus, oh, yo. You remember that song? Incubus is going to be here in town soon, aren't they?
Yeah, with Amberlin.
With Amberlin, yeah. Amberlin, Incubus, yeah. Cage the Elephant.
Yeah, all these other bands.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, man, I want to say some things, but I'm not going to because I can't.
Like what?
Nothing.
Like it's going to be a fun show?
Yeah, that's what. Well, no. No, like, other things, but I can't.
Oh.
Moving on.
Oh, secret things.
secret things.
I know those secret things.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to tell people, too. I like secrets.
If you're just joining us, Shock Therapy Live, welcome. And so check this out, dude. We were doing the morning show a couple weeks ago, and the phone rings. It's live on the air, and I'm like, hello. And this dude's like, hey. And I'm like, sup. And he's like, I just want, and boom, that was it. It was about all he got out, and I didn't understand what was going on. So I put him on hold, and then talked to this gentleman off the air, and just got to speaking, and I guess he had been listening to our show intently with the purpose to bring harm, basically, in a nutshell.
Why?
He worked for some group, and his intent, basically, was listening to the stupid Christians and waiting for us to screw up and make a mistake. And
so
instead,
they could defame us in the
basically,
media, basically,
yeah.
Right?
And instead was convicted, called in, and wanted to learn more about Jesus. And
I think his words were, if what you say is true about Jesus being able to change people and help people with this specific problem,
yeah.
How can he do that in my life?
Yeah, dude.
I want to know.
It was amazing. And I'll tell you right now, this person, I shot over to one of the pastors on campus here at Calvary of Albuquerque, I talked to the pastor and, you know, they've spoken a few times. The dude gave his heart to Jesus Christ.
Man.
And,
it's incredible.
Absolutely phenomenal. Just listening with malintent and then through it said, yeah, that was basically it. Hey, do you really believe that this Jesus can
you know,
really
that's so
change
cool.
you?
I want to say a couple of things to people that might be listening. One, if you're out there and you're scared to stand for your faith because you're scared of what people are going to do and what they're going to say to you, stand on what the Bible says.
Yeah, man.
And no one will be able to come against what Jesus Christ has done. Even if they try to defame it, if they try to trap you or catch you, if you stand on what Jesus Christ has done, then you're golden. Number two, I would say to this, if you're listening with the purpose to trap us or with the purpose to find something stupid that we're going to say, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you, that he died for your sin, and that he wants desperately to have a relationship with you. If you'll let him into your life, you can know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, and you can know that you have a purpose in life.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. How amazing is
so
that?
So cool.
It's amazing
I heard
to see
that
how
like
God
Lee
works.
Lee Strobel status is what is that that reminded me of.
Yeah, right?
You know, Lee Strobel went out to try to disprove Christianity, you know, make Christians seem like idiots, and he ended up becoming a Christian through the process by examining the evidence.
Yeah.
And I think it's great to see that, you know, we're pretty stupid. I'll admit that. I'm not like a super smart guy.
Yeah.
I just tell people what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And the Bible doesn't need someone to stand up for. The Bible stands up for itself.
Yeah.
And when you tell people what the Bible says, I don't need my spin or my take or my views added onto it. I just need the Bible, and it can do a pretty good job doing what it does by itself without my stupid words added to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, 505-338-3700, the phone number if you would like to join us.
It's stories like that that counteract letters that we get that says, hell loves idiots like you.
Over your face!
And Christian, what's this?
Get serious!
Man!
Get saved!
I would weigh, I will definitely take story number two.
Yeah.
If I get story number one.
Yeah. Dude, no kidding. So, we really do have a piece of hate mail in here for Shock Therapy Live.
I like it. It's a treasure. We keep it here.
To you and me. And we keep it in here because it's one of those reminders that,
that we're doing our job.
Absolutely. So if you have a question, if you would like to chime in on the conversation, if you have been dealing with something, dude, maybe you just read something in your Bible this week and you were like, what the? And you have no idea what's going on and you need some, you need some guidance on that. Yeah. Maybe you're struggling with something. You're just dealing with something in your life. You don't know how to beat this thing. And you'd like some clarity on something, or you just need to know how to handle a friend or a situation or a relationship. That's the purpose of Shock Therapy Live. 505-338-3700 is the phone number.
Hey, I would say this too. We've never done this, but if you have a cool testimony of something God's done in your life, maybe through static radio or through shock therapy or through something that's happened to you in the past several months, give us a call and tell us on air. You know, it's cool. It's encouraging for people to hear. It's encouraging for us to hear. And it's fun. So if you've just got something cool that's happened in your life and you want to tell somebody about it, we'd love to hear about it.
I like that. Yeah. You're right, because usually it's
hearing people's
the problems and So if static radio, if you've been touched through this ministry and you just like to share something awesome,
we want to know.
We want to hear about it. 505-338-3700.
It gets people excited, especially the people that are dealing with issues and the people that are calling in with these questions. If they hear someone call in and say, hey, I was dealing with the same thing and God touched my life, it's encouraging for someone to hear that. And I think, you know, we've done this show for how long have we done this show now?
Man, months and months.
Months and months and months. We've talked to a lot of people with a lot of different issues. And if you've been helped by something that's been said, call us and tell us, because it's cool to hear that. You know, if you're dealing with this, that you're actually not just calling in and hearing it, but that you're actually practicing it and that it's changing your life. So.
And God gets the glory, and it's super awesome.
Amen.
So, hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, I just wanted to give a shout-out to God, because you guys were talking about, you know, things that you guys have been able to touch people's lives, and especially mine. You know, I was at work today, and I had a customer of ours call in, and they were pretty upset, because I'm an idiot. And apparently I said something, and I didn't mean it the way that they thought I did. And I had said something, just thinking back to the way that you guys kind of share your testimony. And you guys always talk about sharing the love of God. And I had mentioned, with all the love in my heart, I apologized to them. And they stopped me right there when I was talking. And they were like, you said all the love in your heart. Are you a Christian? And I was like, well, yeah, I am. And that's why, I can't imagine that I hurt your feelings that way, And it was incredible. It was a situation that should have been, I said something stupid and they took it the wrong way, and through the love of God, they were able to, forgive me. And
Amen.
So I just wanted to let you guys know that you guys rock, and it was through you guys' showing me you guys' faith and being able to talk about the love of God, I was able to do the same. So I appreciate it.
Praise the Lord, man. That's so cool. A soft answer turns away wrath. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's such a awesome thing that we think about. The Bible literally says that a soft answer, if we show love to someone that's showing us hatred, it's like pouring hot coals on their head.
Yeah.
That it immediately disarms somebody, because it's like attacking somebody who doesn't have a weapon. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. It disarms them, and they can either respond and saying, well, whatever, and walk away, or respond and, why did you do that? Are you a Christian? And I love that, you know, although I hate this quote, who was it that said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words?
Saint, one of them.
Yeah, stupid
Augustine
quote.
Dumb. Saint Francis of Assisi.
Dumb quote. It's necessary to use words. Use words. But I do love it when I hear stories about that. Like where you're just saying that you just showed love and that you didn't have to tell someone you're a Christian. Like, are you a Christian? You know, that's awesome to hear that. So thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you guys for doing what you do.
All right,
God
man,
bless,
have a great
man.
Night.
Later.
Right on. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig in studio with you tonight, and the phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. If you'd like to, man, maybe share a testimony tonight, share what God is doing in your life tonight, and just wrap with us this evening. We do have an email to get to. Definitely not the family friendliest of emails, and we'll get to that. We'll get to that in the second segment. Want to give some time for, parents to get their kiddos to bed before we tackle that one, because
it's the big M.
It's a big one. Yeah. So, yeah, I like that. The big M, huh? Okay. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey guys, I just want to call and tell you guys thank you. I've called in quite a few times with some questions. I believe that was your guys' very first question.
Oh, that's
nice.
Awesome.
Wow.
Shock Therapy. The one about stem cell research.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
But you guys have answered, you know, so many questions for me as a new believer and all that. Just want to tell you thank you.
Oh, praise the Lord, man. Thanks so much, bro. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
So, hey, let me ask you something.
What's up?
Dude, what is Jesus doing in your life right now?
Awesome thing.
Yeah?
Everything. You know, I have two kids with a genetic disorder, and he just helps us out.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know.
Man.
I try not to get choked up.
Dude.
I would be bummed at you if you didn't get choked up, to be completely honest with you, because I can't even fathom. So, yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, he's the one constant that we just lean on.
Man, that's, I just want you to know personally, that's encouraging to me to hear you say that.
Right.
It's encouraging for me to hear people who are really in crisis, really in pain, be able to say that their relationship with Jesus Christ isn't just words. It's not just something they do because it looks good or because it's something that they're supposed to do, but that you just said that Jesus Christ is the one constant in your life.
Yeah.
And that's incredible, because your faith isn't a faith that's dead. Your faith isn't a faith that's just temporary or a faith that's based on getting good things from God. It's a faith based on something you've experienced in your life, on a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And you've experienced probably more than most people the fact that Jesus says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, it's in the good times and the bad that we worship the Lord and praise his name. And for someone like you to call in and say that you've done that and you're doing that.
Yeah.
It's encouraging for me, someone who might not have experienced the kind of pain that you have in your life, but it's encouraging to hear that from somebody.
Well, it's, you know, it's the one thing that brought actually me and my wife to the Lord was, you know, this disease.
Dude, please share that. I want to hear that. I if it's not too personal, you know what I mean? That sounds like a story I want to hear.
I have three children. I have a five-year-old who is, you know, perfectly healthy, perfectly fine. When my daughter was born, we found out, you know, she was small. We thought she was just a petite little girl. And that when she was about 3 months old, she got diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. And it was just one of those, like a drop kick to the face.
Right.
Was basically what it was. And me and my wife weren't, you know, followers or anything like that. Our life actually, I mean, we weren't even married then. We weren't, you know, anything. We were shacking up, you know, having kids, living together, not really living the right way. And it was just, I believe, just God talking to us. One day it was, we had moved from Clovis, New Mexico, up to Albuquerque, you know, for better health care. And my wife says, hey, go to church with me. And I was like, church? What? No, why?
Right.
And so I went, and we church hopped around town. We went to some. We went to one where when we went in there, you know, we turned everybody's head and felt like, you know, we had, you know, funny looks on our face or something because everybody stared at us.
A lot of those churches.
Yep.
And so I had had a negative experience with a church in the past. And, you know, after further research in that church, it really wasn't a positive church. I don't want to down anybody. I won't even mention names. But we now go to Sagebrush.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Which, you know, anybody who goes to it knows.
Yeah. Todd was my youth pastor, so.
Well, everybody knows how awesome Todd is. And so, you know, we started going to church, and then it was finally one of those things that was like, well, you know, maybe it was just the Lord's way of saying, hey, you guys aren't doing things right. And, you know, my daughter was sent just to bring us back together. So now our marriage is stronger because of it. You know, we had another child. We weren't doing anything to prevent it. We had gotten married. We got saved. We got baptized. We actually got baptized on Father's Day, which I thought was pretty cool. And then, you know, my wife got pregnant again, and there was that looming fear of having another child with the disease. And so, you know, we didn't worry about it. We didn't. We prayed about it, and we said, you know, Lord, whatever you're going to do, you're going to do. And then it turned out when he was born, he had the disease also, which, you know, was a tough pill to swallow.
Right.
But the more and more that we just, you know, it's hard. It's hard to say, you know, God, take this. But the more and more that we tell him to, the easier our life becomes, which is what, you know, we found out.
Right.
That it's not ours to do. It's not ours to do on our own. Because, you know, we all live as, especially the man's role, you know, we're the fixer.
Right, yeah.
You know, if someone gets a scrape on their knee, you know, you go get the peroxide, you get the Band-Aid, and you say, I'm going to fix that.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with, you know, everything within the family, be it, you know, financial, spiritual, anything. We, you know, our role is to be the fixer, but then, you know, we tend to lose sight of who the, you know, the natural fixer is.
Right.
And so with it, I mean, the more and more that me and my wife just say, you know what, we're not even going to let it get us. You know, God, you take care of this. And, you know, as to, you know, right now, from the path my daughter was on, when my daughter, before she hit the age of one, she had 4 surgeries and 6 different hospitalizations.
Wow.
And my son, who just turned 1 on the 29th, he's now, tomorrow, he goes in for his very first surgery, and he's only been hospitalized 1 time. Which, I mean, with the disease, you know, anybody who knows about the disease knows how uncommon 1 hospitalization in a year is.
Right, yeah.
So it's now, I mean, it's, you know, we don't stress about it. We know everything's taken care of.
And how's your daughter doing now?
My daughter's doing awesome.
Awesome.
And my baby, my 1-year-old that just turned 1, he's going in for a surgery tomorrow just because he's not putting on weight like they'd like him to. So he's got to go have a feeding tube put in, and so we have to feed him extra just because of the disease. He doesn't put on, you know, as many pounds as what he should normally. But, you know, it's just through, you know, that's why you guys have been an awesome resource, because I've been, like I said, I called you guys with the stem cell research question.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I figured... And I was like, oh, question and answer. Okay, let's try this. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about, you know, stem cell research. And I'm pretty sure back then they didn't know what stem cells even were.
I'm sure God did, though.
Absolutely.
I'm sure God did.
Yep.
I'm sure God did. But, I mean, as far as, you know, the modern-day doctors back then,
they
probably didn't know. So that's why... You know, because stem cell research is one of those things that it's, you know, it's very promising for the disease.
Yeah.
But I know it's very controversial because of the way that they get them.
Yeah.
You know, and like I think I told you guys, I'm not any way, shape, or form, you know, advocating for abortion.
Right.
At all. But,
well, I remember that. Yeah, I actually, it's funny that just recently, after dealing with that question, we had a friend who had cancer, had leukemia, and I got asked to donate some stem cells, actually. We got asked to go in and have those harvested from myself and my wife, and we volunteered to do that because we had heard about that. And so I know you can get them from many other ways besides abortion.
You can get them. I mean, even when they ask for you to, like, bank your cord blood, that's what they're doing there, is they're banking your stem cells.
Yeah.
You know, when the baby's born.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, those are, you know, just as good as adult stem cells.
Yeah.
I mean, they can have very good promise with them. It's just that the methods that they're using for it nowadays just aren't very ethical.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, man, I'm so privileged that we've been able to help you and your family, and you know, we'd love to help you in the future too.
Yeah, dude, I gotta tell you, you are a reminder to me of Proverbs chapter 3:5-6 that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." And it seems like, through all the crap in your life, through all the, man, just the what is this? The question marks. The, yeah, I don't understand. You have trusted in Him with all of your heart, and it seems like He has made your path straight and your family's path straight. Mm. And it's such an amazing reminder that when we stick to the promises of God and we cling to those, that God is faithful. And so I thank you, because, man, what a phenomenal reminder. And for those that are listening right now that you just absolutely minister to, who may be going through something and they don't understand the circumstances, they don't understand why they're going through it, why God would allow something like that, your life is a testimony to them that if you trust in the Lord, He will make your path straight. So thank you, man. Thank you.
The only thing I can say, you know, to that is, if anyone's going through it, just hand it over.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you don't understand it, me and my wife, you know, we still don't even understand, you know, why we are handed this, but, you know, we're destined for greatness. That's all I keep saying.
Amen, dude. Amen. I believe in that wholeheartedly, man. I really do. And so thank you for calling and sharing, because obviously that's very personal, very just near and dear to you. And so thank you. I just, wow.
Amen. Amen.
Seriously.
So. I'm sorry. I get emotional when I talk to you, because, I mean, it's a hard thing to deal with.
Yeah. But
I mean,
see, and that's the thing.
I know both you two have kids, and it's,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
even if your kid gets sick, it's like you're a nervous wreck.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, my kids are sick 24/7.
Yeah. But I think that's it. I think it's that comfort, that peace in those times. You know, I think of Paul, who said, whether well-fed, whether hungry, like in plenty and in want, and all these circumstances, you know, having that joy and falling on Christ, because that doesn't mean that you're just going to be like, man, this really sucks, but I feel great. You know, it's okay to have those emotions. If you didn't have those emotions, I would be worried. So it's okay.
We went through plenty of, man, this really sucks. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, God, why us? Why us?
Yeah. I mean, that's
you know,
natural.
I think that the difference is just how you said before that, you know, God is the one constant for you.
Yeah.
I think that the difference, and what we say is, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, is the idea of what Philippians says. Philippians tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and souls through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference, a peace that surpasses all understanding. We can, in times of want, in times of anxiety, in times of fear, in times of suffering, rejoice and have peace, not because the situation's good, but because we know the one who holds the situation.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
God is a constant. It's what Isaiah said. The book of Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, which in our terms would be in the worst time in Israel's history.
Yeah.
When the king, who was the best king ever, died, Isaiah saw the King of Kings on the throne.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying. God is the constant, and we can rejoice because we know who's on the throne, not because the circumstances are great.
Right.
Yeah.
Right on,
awesome,
man.
Awesome, man.
I want to tell you guys, just keep on doing what you're doing, and I mean, I know you're helping millions of people.
Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks,
thank
bro.
You so
I appreciate
much.
It.
You're welcome.
All right. God bless, man.
All right.
Man, we got to take
I
a
love
quick
our
break.
We've got good listeners. We love you guys.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. And on that, coming back, we have a very, very difficult subject,
yeah.
Actually. We got an anonymous email from someone who is struggling with masturbation, actually, and has for some years in their life, does not know how to stop. As we talk to this gentleman about clinging to Christ and trusting in Him, man, we're gonna hit this hard on the way back.
Yes, we are. It's
intense conversation. So 505-338-3700, the phone number, or if you'd like to send us an anonymous email, if it's intense and you feel embarrassed, don't worry about it. I promise you will remain anonymous.
Yes.
That is why we have the email system. No one else needs to know. And so,
yep. But
we would love to help you. 505-338-3700 or studio@mystaticradio.com. We're going to take a quick break and right back with that email. Static Radio.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? Yes? Build a bridge and get over it. Or better yet, chime in now on facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
That's right. Sunday night, Shock Therapy Live, Steve-O, Pastor Nate with me in studio. And,
yes.
Man, we're already halfway through.
I know.
I'm telling you, man, you got to email your questions in now if you want them answered. Studio@mystaticradio.com or you can give us a call, 505-338-3700. We still have one line open, and let's take a call. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I had a yawn, sorry.
I just want to thank you guys for all the wonderful stuff you've done.
Thanks, man.
I actually used to struggle with pornography and masturbation, and just by listening to your podcast, I got over it, and I decided to give my life just 100% to God in every aspect of my life, which actually leads me to my questions.
Before you ask your question... Awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Praise
God. That
so
is
cool,
all
man.
God.
It's one of the hardest addictions to overcome. So it's really cool that God's working in your life.
And it's crazy that you're calling because we got an email from somebody who's dealing with that very thing.
And we're going to answer your question. Then I want to ask the question we got with you on the phone. And
yeah.
I want you to try to answer it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, right. Okay, yeah, go ahead, man. Question away.
Okay. The first question I had was mainly about my mom. She's a big Joel Osteen follower, I guess.
Okay.
And I had heard your podcast on him and all the things you said, but how, as a new Christian, how am I supposed to reach to her if that's her thing and she really doesn't want to hear anything else?
The Bible.
Yeah.
That's it. That's how we conduct this show, and that's how you need to conduct the conversation. You need to say, hey, Mom, I'm concerned about, you know, what you're listening to. And she might say, well, what do you mean? Why are you concerned? And then what you can do is you could say, well, this is what Joel Osteen says, and this is what the Bible says. And what you do by doing that, and we have some of that stuff on our show explaining some of the things that Joel Osteen says and why they contradict what the Bible says, and just go through some of that with her. And then what happens is she has one of two choices. Either she can say, you're right, and I shouldn't listen to him anymore, or she can say, the Bible's wrong, and I'm going to listen to him. That's the only two options you have at that point. And if she's going to make her decision based on that, and you're going to be able to tell how you can conduct the situation from there. If she says, I don't care, I'm going to keep listening to him, then you know that there's going to be a deeper issue you're going to have to deal with in Joel Osteen because it shows a reluctance in her heart to hear the word of God. If she responds and says, okay, well, you're right, I probably shouldn't listen to him anymore, then you can talk to her about that and say, well, here's some other pastors you should listen to that maybe are good or biblically sound. Or she might say, you know, this might be the response she'll have. Well, okay, well, maybe some of those things are bad, but he encourages me. If she says that, then you say, the Bible warns very heavily about false prophets and about wolves in sheep's clothing. The Bible talks very specifically about them and that when they come into our midst, we're not supposed to hear them. We're not even supposed to accept what they're saying. We're supposed to cast them out, that we're not supposed to accept the lie that they're trying to submit for the truth. And once again, you're going to use scripture to combat that. You know, I think that it's well-intentioned dragons that are the most dangerous thing in the church today. I don't think Joel Osteen means to throw people off their walks with God or means to cause people to not have a proper relationship with him. I think he's a well-intentioned dragon, and he thinks that the things that he's saying are good, but he just doesn't know the Bible. And that's true. I'm not just saying that like, oh, Nate said Joel Osteen doesn't know the Bible.
Right,
he's a jerk. He's a big punk face. That's not what I'm saying. You listen to his interviews. He doesn't know what the Bible says. When people ask him about homosexuality, when people ask him about Jesus as the only way to heaven,
right,
he does not have a conclusive response because he doesn't know the Bible. If he knew what the Bible said, he'd be able to say emphatically that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He'd be able to say emphatically that sin is sin is sin. He'd be able to say these things because he'd know the Bible. So I'm not saying that because I'm just trying to be a punk. I'm saying it because it's true. He doesn't know what the Bible says.
Yeah, I can. I immediately think of Larry King Live, and Larry King even quotes scripture saying, hey,
yeah,
but your Bible says
this.
You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So wouldn't Jesus be the only way? Well, I'm not here to tell you, you know.
No, this is what he said. He said, well, I wouldn't really interpret it like that.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of interpreting there. So that's just to say, you use the Bible. You don't have to come up as a big meanie attacking Joel Osteen. You can use what he said, and it's been recorded and published that he said. Use what he said and what the Bible says.
Yep.
And you don't have to be a brain surgeon to be able to take what he said and what the Bible says and realize that there's inconsistencies.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. That's the best way I would approach it.
All right, cool. And my second question is around my dad and my brother, who I live with. I find it really difficult to stay straight in my walk with God when I'm around them, even though they claim to be Christians. It just seems like what they're believing and what they're saying is two different things, you know?
Yeah. Dude, I mean, that goes right back to the first question.
Yeah.
With scripture. You go to them and say, hey, man, you guys say you follow Jesus. You say you're Christians. You say this, this, this. But here's what the Bible says, and here's how you're living.
You know what I would do with that even more so? Because when it comes with your dad, you want to be very careful in respecting him and not coming and you know, if he's not outright, like, you know, I mean, doing outright sin in front of you or things like that, I'd just be careful. And I think the best thing that I would do, if they're doing something you feel uncomfortable with, you just be the better man, and you start stepping up and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And then when they say, well, why not? Why aren't you going to do this? Or why aren't you going to go to this? Or why aren't you going to see this movie? You say, because I'm a Christian and I don't think that I should. And you don't have to say anything about what they're doing. They will immediately feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you do that.
That's true.
If they're doing something that they know they shouldn't do and you say, I don't want to. Why? Because I'm a Christian. You're not saying it, but you're kind of saying it, that what they're doing isn't something a Christian should do, and that will give them conviction. And that will do the job. That'll do a better job than anything you could ever come to them and tell them.
Yeah.
You could come to them and say, you guys are sinners, and I might just make them angry. But if you just stand up for what's right and let them realize that they're doing what's wrong, that will convict them.
All right.
All right.
Cool, man. Now, can you hold on the line for a little bit? And we have a question that was asked about something that you've conquered in your life. Well, not that you've conquered, that Christ has conquered for you in your life that I'd love your input on. Is that cool?
Yeah, cool.
Cool, man. So we're going to read the question, and then we're going to get your input, and then we're going to throw a little input on there as well.
There it is. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O. With me, Pastor Nate Heitzig. And if you have a question, 505-338-3700, or just like this person here, if you'd like to keep it anonymous, studio@mystaticradio.com is the email. Go ahead.
So here's the question. It says, this is probably going to be hard to believe, but I have been masturbating since I was 5. I am almost 20 now, and I hate it. I don't know how to stop. I don't look at porn, so I don't really know how to stay away from possible triggers, since they seem to be all over the place. Is there any hope that I will be able to stop doing this? I'm tired of living like this, and I feel disgusting. This is the first time I have told anyone. Well, first of all, thank you for telling us. We're so happy that you wrote this in.
Yeah.
Happy that we can help you, and pray that God will work in your life just as he had many others. Now, my first question is going to be a question back to our listener. Are you there, buddy?
Yes.
And what was your name again?
Robert.
Robert. So, Robert, here's my question, and she asked the question. This is the question that I have for you. Will it ever be possible for her to stop doing this?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, absolutely, yes.
So it's not something that you're stuck in for life just because you've done it, that you're never going to conquer it?
No.
How did Christ change your heart? How did he impact you that caused you to say, hey, I'm done, I'm stopping?
A big thing was not to put you guys on the spot, was your podcast. I decided to just download them and just listen to them, to all of them, and a lot of them had to do with this subject. And a big thing that crossed my mind was that it is sin. And if we are truly wanting to live for Christ, then we need to step out of our sin. And that was a big thing that I was struggling with, is that I didn't think it was wrong for me to do it. And after listening to you guys, I realized, oh, it was. And I said to myself, I need to step away from this, and I need to get out of this.
Yeah.
And a big thing I did was whenever I felt like doing it or looking at pornography, I just shut my phone off or I turned my computer off, and I would just go outside and I would just sit there by myself and I would just pray.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And that was a big thing. And even if I didn't have my phone or my laptop with me and I felt like doing it, I would sit down and I would just pray. And that's to this anonymous person, I would just say, pray and just be straightforward with God and just ask him for the strength to help you. And whenever you're feeling the need to do this, just take a step back and see the damage that it's doing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not just to yourself, but to those around you. Amen. That in truth that you're lying to, and even to God. You want to call yourself a Christian, but you keep living in filth.
Dude, Robert, I just want to say for a second that God is using what's happened in your life to help other people right now.
Absolutely.
And that's incredibly cool. And not only has God brought you out of this, but God is now helping other people because of what he's done in your life.
Yeah.
And that's incredible, because that's when we realize we're really walking with God, is when we're not only overcoming obstacles in our life, but the things that God has overcome in our life, he's using for good.
Yeah.
To help other people. That's when we really know that God's using us. So first of all, congratulations, man. That's so cool to hear what God's done in your life and the fact that he's using you right now on live radio to touch countless people with your story and what he's done in your life. And number two, you answered it better than I could have.
I know, right?
I mean, that's the perfect answer. When we're in sin, we need to first recognize that it's sin, recognize that we need to stop sinning, and then take active steps to stop sinning. That's huge. That's huge. Because this person who wrote in, I can hear that they don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
I can hear that they realize it's wrong. So they have the first two steps, but I don't hear active steps that they're taking. You know, so many people that come to me and ask for counsel, they say, well, I really want to stop doing this. And I say, well, what are you doing to stop? And they're like, well, I don't want to.
Right.
I'm coming to see you about it. Okay, well, that's not really an active step. I mean, I'm glad that you came, and I'm glad that you can hear this, but you need to take active steps. And I think that you put literally the best answer that you could possibly give. And I tell this to people all the time. The second you feel like masturbating, the second you feel like looking at pornography, do the exact opposite of what you want to do, which in your case is praying. You know, when we want to sin, sometimes the last thing we really want to do is – you know, read the Bible or pray.
Yeah.
So I'll tell people either go read the Bible, but I love yours because it's honestly even better than just going to read the Bible. You said, I go outside and I pray. Now, this is awesome for two reasons. One, you're getting your mind off the sin and you're getting your mind on God. And it's awesome, number two, because nobody wants to masturbate outside in front of people.
Right, right.
Unless they're freaks.
Right.
And then they're going to go to the jail and it's going to be better for us all. So it's awesome. It's really the best answer that you could possibly give. I go outside and I pray.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to do what you shouldn't do when you're outside praying.
Yeah.
It's the best place that you could possibly be. And I think that's great. And it reminds me what the Bible says, is that the darkness hates the light, and that no one wants to do things I forget exactly how it's phrased, but we want to hide our sin. The things which are hidden, the things which are not seen are not of God. I think that's basically the way it's put. The things which are hidden, the things that are not seen. And it's this concept that our sin doesn't want to be exposed. So the best way that we can conquer our sin is to put it in a place where it would have to be exposed.
Yeah, I think it's incredible that this person emailed in and said, hey, this is the first time I've told anyone, and that's it. That's right away, like, hey, here's a confession. Getting it out there. I mean, that's a huge step.
Huge.
Huge, huge step. Because this is what, 15 years or so going on now,
yeah.
You know? And wow.
That's so to the person who wrote this in, I would take Robert's advice. The next time you feel that inclination to masturbate, the first thing you need to do is go outside and go pray. I don't care where you are. Yeah. I don't care if it's nighttime, if it's 12 o'clock. If you're in the bathtub, get some clothes on. Go outside and go pray. I don't care what's going on in your life. You know, I don't care if you're in Compton and you hear gunshots outside. Go outside and pray. Please, by the way, don't injure yourself and then say that Steve-O and Nate are liable for you.
I'm like,
getting
I didn't
murdered.
Say that. Nate said that. So.
But seriously, that's great advice. Go outside and go pray. You know, one of my favorite things to do when I'm really struggling with sin is go take a prayer walk.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, you know, where you live. That might not be applicable to you, but I think it's great. It's great advice. I think that's great advice, not just for masturbation, but for anything. Go outside and pray. That should be a bumper sticker. Go outside and pray. It's awesome. Robert, thanks so much, man.
Thank you,
man. That was super encouraging. We're so glad God's working in your life. And, you know, keep it up, man. You're ministering to people.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, man. Have a
great
day. All
right, Robert. God bless, man.
You too.
Obviously, I don't believe in coincidence. And so I think it's absolutely incredible that this person called in tonight, because we got this email at the top of the show, and I was like, oh, man.
This is – okay, this is like – you know, in parenting, there's those times in parenting where it's like an awe moment, like, yes, my kids are doing what I've wanted them to do. Like I didn't have to tell them; they're just doing it. That was like one of those moments. That's just like I'm saying that you guys are my kids, but one of those moments where shock therapy is at a place where we just got a really hard question. And I didn't have to answer the question because we've answered it before. But one of our listeners who's listened consistently
who's
to the show
overcome this.
Overcame it through listening to the show and answered the question for us.
It's amazing.
That's like an aha moment,
right?
Like, hey, Satan, you think you're super cool? Aha!
Yeah.
You suck!
Yeah.
That's like one of those moments. Like,
absolutely.
That's really cool.
Absolutely incredible. And another thing is, it's a testimony that this can be overcome, just like anything else. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation that has overtaken you except what is common to man.
Amen.
And God is faithful.
Amen.
And he will always provide a way out. Okay? So no matter what it is that you're going through, yeah, and I know a lot of times people go, well, it's easy for you to say that. You know what? We didn't say it. Robert, who overcame this sin, said
Amen.
It through the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so,
and you know, I would say this too, an exhortation for the listeners of this show: don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word.
Right.
If you're just listening to this show every week and you say, man, that's really cool, but you know, they're really smart, they can answer these questions. We're not. You know, God has used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
True
and
story.
The questions that we're giving you guys are questions that you can get from the Bible. So if you're just hearing this show, but it's not changing you, become a doer of the word. Don't just keep listening. Start acting on what you're listening to. Start acting on what you're hearing. Start, you know, researching the Bible and giving an answer for the things that God's done in your life. You know, it's the spreading of the gospel, the answering of biblical questions isn't something for the professionals. It's something that God has called every man to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's something God's called us all to do. We're supposed to be ready in season and out of season. We're supposed to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. So know that if you're listening to the show and you say, man, you know, I want to be able to be used. I want to be able to do this. You can just get off your butt, start reading the Bible, and start doing what it says.
Yeah.
And I promise you, God will use you in a mighty way. And you know, maybe in a month, you'll be able to call in and say, hey, just like Robert, God rocked my world, and now I want to help someone else.
There it is. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Got to take our final break. Right back with more of your phone calls, 505-338-3700. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. Leave your comment on tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. You're still listening? Good, because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. We got about 10 minutes left to show. If you would like to get in on the conversation, 505-338-3700. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, man.
Hey.
I was just calling. Did we just talk during the break? Or just
Yeah, we did.
We were on the break.
Okay, so do I...
Yeah, man, I would love to talk about this on the air. Yeah, so...
I'll recap it really quick.
Okay.
What was your name?
David.
David just called in. He wanted to know biblically why masturbation is wrong.
Right.
And he mentioned that the Old Testament talks about masturbation, but the New Testament doesn't really talk about it. So what's the problem with it? Is it an issue with lust of the heart, lust of the eyes? What's the issue with it? So really quick, in a nutshell, and by the way, if you want a really in-depth answer to this question, one of our first podcasts. I think we've actually talked about it several times.
Several times,
we've
man.
Talked about the biblical reasons as to why masturbation is wrong, and the biblical reasons why we shouldn't do it. And there's a lot more verses to back this up on those podcasts. So if you really want an in-depth answer, check that out at mystaticradio.com. But really quick, the Bible in the entirety never talks about masturbation. The Old Testament doesn't talk about it. The New Testament doesn't talk about it. The only thing we really get along the same lines is the Old Testament talks about nocturnal emissions, which is a wet dream. And that's the only thing the Bible really talks about that. And when it came to that, it was an issue with cleanliness, that if you were to have a nocturnal emission, you were unclean. You had to go outside of the camp and things like that, which is true. It's gross. It's unclean. But it doesn't talk about masturbation. So we get our biblical understanding for masturbation from the concept that in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that the woman's role is to satisfy the man sexually, and the man's role is to satisfy the woman sexually. Now, that's not their only role. It's not like, okay, we're just sex objects. But that's their duty to one another. It says they're not supposed to restrict one another from sexual satisfaction in the marriage. You're not supposed to hold one another back from that. And it's are not only our role, but it's our joy to satisfy one another sexually. So when we masturbate, whether we're masturbating while we're married or whether we're masturbating when we're not married, we're taking away the role that God has placed for our current husband or wife or our future husband and wife, and we're taking the role into our own hands. That's number one. Number two.
Literally.
That's, yeah. Number two. I've heard people say, well, I can masturbate without thinking to somebody. That's not true. That's a lie. Even if you're not thinking about it, you're performing a role that is meant for another person's genital to perform. Your body is being tricked into thinking that thing that's on your hand, it is something that it shouldn't be. And it's causing your mind to do things that it shouldn't do, whether or not you're thinking about a naked person or not. It's a lust. It's a lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
And number three, masturbation is not something that you need to do to have a healthy life. You don't have to masturbate to get away from sickness. You don't have to masturbate to cause yourself to be satisfied physically. There's nothing physically, scientifically that you need to – there's no reason why you need to masturbate. It's not like eating. It's not like keeping your body clean. It's not like any of those things. And so since it's not something that's a necessity in our life to keep us healthy physically, it's not something that we should do and take into our own hands, because it's the lust of the flesh. It's like – it would be like being greedy for money. It's not something we need. It's something we want. Masturbation isn't something you need. It's something you want. And so giving into that want is a temptation, right. And it's the lust of the flesh.
And I'll tell you this. I went through an amazing series, and I will highly recommend this book. It's called Every Man's Battle. And you know what? Because it's something – I'll be completely blunt on the show. It's called Shock Therapy Live. I dealt with this. Surprise, I'm a dude.
Yeah.
I dealt with this. One thing that the rebuttal I always got was, dude, as long as you're thinking of a toaster and or, you know, not having lustful thoughts, it's okay because we're men and it gets pent up and we have to release it. And even according to like Focus on the Family, every 72 hours it gets built up, and then how do we release it? Well, God has natural ways for it to be released. One, through those nocturnal emissions. One. Two, actually, if you come to this place where you can get to, hey, you know what, I don't need to do this, God actually breaks that down in your body, true story, and when you pee, you can take care of it that way as well, to be completely honest. And so I think
for people that tell me they have to masturbate like every day,
yeah,
I've been away from my wife for 3 weeks at a time and not had to masturbate.
Right.
It's not a necessity.
It's not a necessity.
It doesn't destroy me. It doesn't do anything to my body.
Right.
When your wife's pregnant, you don't have sex as much. It doesn't like make your life miserable. It doesn't make you curl up and die. So it really isn't a necessity.
We have to remember 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." We have to flee those things. We really do. And
yeah.
I don't care how many times people will say this, because the last time we did a show on masturbation, we got a few really angry emails saying, "How dare you? You're sending young people astray because masturbation isn't wrong. How else are they going to release that? Blah, 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 blah." And it's crap, dude. It's crap.
Well, and something to add to that, something that I heard in church recently was they were talking about, you know, someone asked, as a single person, what am I supposed to do with that sexual energy? And the pastor answered by saying that it's an opportunity to practice self-control.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's an opportunity to to operate in a way where, you know, just because it's hard doesn't mean that you shouldn't follow Christ. It's an opportunity to practice that self-control and work towards being able to control your flesh. And real quick, I just wanted to thank you guys so much for being so frank and so honest. And I think that's so telling of just, like, this new generation of Christian that's rising up and just this new, I mean, it's just so encouraging to see this new growth and this new strength. And, you know, we're not shying away from the issues of our parents. We're not shying away from the issues that you ignore in church. I mean, especially growing up, you know, in the church, there was so many, you just didn't talk about things because it wasn't considered. And it led to this just this shallow Christianity where you told everyone you were fine, even if you weren't. Yeah. And I'm just so thankful to see this on so many fronts of just this blunt, honest, in the dirt Christianity, because it's a battle, and it's so refreshing and encouraging to see it treated that
way. Dude, I love that. That's like the new slogan for Shock Therapy.
I know,
blunt,
right?
Honest, in the dirt Christianity.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is.
I love that because you basically echoed the heart for Shock Therapy. When I first wanted to start this show, I went to Steve-O and I went to a couple of the guys. I was like, I want to do a show, and this is what I want it to be about. And I echo my idea. My idea was this. There's so many things that we don't talk about in the church, and one of them was masturbation. That was the first thing that came to my mind. It's like, masturbation.
Yeah.
I grew up never hearing, like, my pastor talk about that. I never grew up people saying, well, this is how you counteract that. And what happens is if we're not getting a biblical view on these things, we're going to get a worldly view.
Yeah.
Because, you know, parents sometimes say, well, I can't talk to my kids about that. They're in junior high. I can't talk to them about oral sex. I can't talk to them about masturbation. I can't talk to them about these things. Guess what? They're hearing it at the schools.
Right.
You're an idiot if you think that they're not hearing it from their friends at school. And when they're hearing it from their friends at school, it's cool. Oh, I found this porno. Oh, I looked at this. Oh, did you see this? Oh my gosh. I went to this far with this girl. And they're hearing all this stuff, and all they're getting is a worldly view because you're not brave enough to talk to your kids about the truth of what the Bible says about that and help them defeat that problem in their life.
Yeah.
So we're doing a disservice to the kids of our generation if we don't do that. And that was the heart of Shock Therapy from the very beginning, is to be honest and give a biblical perspective on things that people struggle with. And people say, well, the Bible doesn't talk about that. You're right. The Bible doesn't say anything about masturbation, but the Bible certainly has a lot of things that we can use practically in the issue of masturbation. And the Bible has something to say in every area of life, and we want to help people find those areas.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the call.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
All right, have
God
a great
bless,
night.
Man.
I'm amped up!
Dude, this has been like the most encouraging night of Shock Therapy ever.
We need to ask that more often at the beginning of the show because, truth be told, in radio, a lot of times we get to pour out and pour out, and I've said it over and over, this is my favorite hour of the week, but it's very rare that we get to be filled back up by the listener who calls in and says, hey man, this is how God used this show to end my struggle with masturbation. This is how God used this show to help me along with my... I gotta tell you, if you missed any part of the show tonight,
podcast the crap out of that.
Yeah. Dude, mystaticradio.com. You can podcast our show. We have them all posted for your listening pleasure in case you've missed any of them.
Can we add that to like our Shock Therapy intro? Like, what was that? Raw?
Yeah.
Honest,
in
raw,
the dirt.
In the dirt Christianity.
Yeah, man. I'm down with that. I'll find that little clip right there.
Dude, that was cool.
Thanks to everybody who called in tonight. Thanks for the emails, the phone calls, the Facebook posts, and dude,
yeah,
love the show.
Love it. Hey, we love you guys. This show could not happen without you guys.
Absolutely.
Every week we get more and more calls, and if you guys didn't call, it would just be Steve-O and I talking about boring stuff and no one would listen.
Like,
so
how much the angels suck right now.
It's because of you we have a show, so thank you guys. We love you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, if you're a fan of the show and you'd like to help us out, we're a nonprofit ministry, man. MyStaticRadio.com. You can click the Donate Now button and be a part of the ministry financially. Help us out so we can continue doing stuff like Shock Therapy Live. Peace out!
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.